Welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Good evening, good morning, good night, good second breakfast, whenever you are, wherever you are. My name is Laura Gonzalez, and I'd like to welcome you to Lunatic Mondays, Lunes Lunaticos. Today we have, as every third Monday of the month, we have the Social Justice Series with Laura Gonzalez and Jake Bradley. And as a means of introduction, let me share with you, every day is Earth Day, but especially this month. It can be discouraging to listen to the news and consider how bleak the outlook is for our planet. It might lead us to feel stuck and like the things we do won't matter. Jake and Laura will explore some choices we can all make in our daily lives to reflect, love, respect, and concern for the planet Earth. So, dear Jake, welcome to Lunatic Mondays. How are you today?
Hey, Laura. I'm great. Thanks. How about you?
I'm good, and I'm excited to talk about Earth Day with you today. So, it's important for me to tell people that we were both thinking, like, we're not the experts, but we gotta give it a try. And so that's what we're gonna do. So, take us into it.
Well, I don't know if Earth Day snuck up on you this year like it did for me. You know, it still has felt cold not that long ago where I am on Potawatomi territory in Chicago. And I've been pretty desperate for the spring, but also just, you know, distracted by and wrapped up in all kinds of things going on in the world and things like that. And so I'm really excited to have this opportunity that Earth Day brings us to sort of think about how I myself manifest my love and high regard for the planet and how I live that out in my day-to-day activities. And I always feel that I am not living up to my own ideals and my own standards when it comes to taking care of the Earth. So I feel like it's helpful that, you know, every year gives us another day of Earth Day to think about it again and to potentially sort of take stock of, you know, how we are in relationship with the land we live on and walk on and get our food from and so on, and how we, you know, how we can be responsible and responsive about being purposeful and intentional about how we honor the Earth.
You know, I think for me, one of the most important things about it is I don't want it to become a Hallmark holiday, you know, like, yeah, we commemorate the day, we observe. And like you say, it's a very good day for us to take stock, to pause and to reflect on what we are doing or what we could do, right? Because we always can do a little bit more. But if we really don't consciously take that pause, then it'll become on a Hallmark holiday. And we certainly don't want to do that. And then, of course, you're here with Jake and Laura. So, you know, we're going to make noise about everything because that's what we do.
That's what we do.
We are so not conforming with anything. So let's start talking about things. And, you know, when I was very, very young, now it's going to be like in Mexico, they will say, ya llovió, like long time ago. When I was 12 years old, I was watching a documentary, 60 Minutes, but on Spanish, you know, on the Mexican TV. And they were talking about our population, global warming or climate change. I can't remember how they used to call it back then. But especially something that really stuck on my brain was the garbage and the overpopulation. And A little known fact, that's when I decided that I didn't want to have kids. That at that tender age, at 12 years old, I was like, I don't want to have kids because when I if I have kids, it's gonna be horrible. And now here I am living in this world in which I consciously decided not to bring another human. Not because you can't reproduce, it means you have to. And that takes a huge impact on the earth, you know? And I have heard of people when I share with them that that's why I choose not to be a mom, that they tell me, but there's space for all of us. Look at how many empty spaces on the planet. And I'm like, what?
Yikes.
It's just like there is no consciousness of that. When did you started being conscious about how much we have to care for the earth?
That's a good question. I remember being distressed about what was called global warming back then, and worrying about that. And I've always, we talk about this all the time, but I've always, really been inspired by nature and sort of found roots for my spiritual practice and resilience and things like that in nature. And so it's sort of easy for me to pay attention to the natural world and to notice the cycles of nature and things like that, and to kind of take it seriously when it looks like things are not going well for our planet. And I'm, though, in a lot of ways a typical lazy American, in the sense that I often think more about what's convenient for me, what's expedient, and I consume lots of resources. I make lots of trash. I do things that are bad for the natural world around me. I take the world for granted all the time. And every now and then I sort of get reminded about that and sort of jolted back into awareness of how, I need to be making choices that reflect my values. And I need to be part of a movement of people taking better care of planet. And I similarly, at a fairly young age, decided that that it was important to me to not be a part of the overpopulation rush that's been happening, and made a really conscious choice to build my family and to do my parenting through foster parenting and adoption and things like that. And that was an early choice that I made and that I followed through on in my life. And also, as a young adult, decided that vegetarianism, and in some cases veganism, for me was an important part of how I honor other living beings and the planet, and try to be a part of a sustainable ecosystem that doesn't abuse other living beings, and that is more sustainable for the planet, and so on. Also, being a vegetarian has many other benefits for personal health and economical rationales for the world and things like that, as well as just being a good choice for the planet. So those were some big choices I made early in my life. But I, as I've mentioned, I continue to sort of forget, how important it is, and I get lazy and I make choices that reflect my sort of nearsighted aims of getting through a day or a week or whatever, and don't reflect my deeper, longer term aims of helping the planet survive and, getting through some more lifetimes of humanity on this planet and so on. I don't know if that answers that question or resonates with you, Laura, but.
Absolutely. I didn't know you were vegetarian. See, that goes into how much I don't accuse people about it. I'm just a loud vegan because I cannot believe I'm vegan, but I never knew you were vegetarian. And certainly what we eat and how we relate with animals and how we consume is not so much, and no, Laura's not going to get on her high horse about being vegan. It's not about what we eat. It's how we produce it. And the way that this mass production of meats and chicken and poultry and beef and all of this animals that get slaughtered and then eaten, it's not that we eat the animals as much as how we have make it into a mass production machine factory that is destroying the planet. And don't believe me, don't listen to me, don't I mean, I'm not the expert here. Google it, and you'll find out how a huge part of the deplorable situation that we have on the planet right now is created or was created or exacerbated as a result of fast food. And that's why I loathe that restaurant with the golden arches, because I blame them directly for the industrializing of our food production. But this is not the Laura Hates That Fast Food Restaurant show. This is a Earth Day show. So let's talk about certain ways that we can help our love and dear planet. And the first thing I want to say, Jake, I know it's not on the list that you have provided us, but I'm quoting Phyllis Kurott here. Phyllis Kurott, I have heard her say, let the lawyers do the law thing and let the medics do the medicine thing. And then let the witches do the witches thing. And I think that first and foremost, for all of us who listen to this show, who are pagan or pagan influence or pagan adjacent or pagan friendly, pray for the earth. If that is the only one thing that you can do, then do that. And remember that your energy and your love and your caring and your intent for loving this or mother or planet is very, very important. So let's not ever forget that also in our religion or spirituality, that is the most important part for our practice, is to pray for this earth. But with that being said, go ahead and take us through that list, Jake.
Yeah, but I mean, also, you know, I think sometimes we get, we feel sort of stuck or overwhelmed about, you know, how can what one person does really make a difference? You know, and, you know, there's certainly some huge and industrialized and systematized forces that are bigger than each one of us that are wreaking havoc for sure. But, you know, hopefully if we just sort of pray for the earth and step lightly ourselves, that will give each of us more of a sense of relationship, interrelationship with the living planet and with other living beings, our siblings, the trees and non-human animals and all that. And, you know, bring that closer to home for us so that we can think about the other choices that we make and try to do less harm and try to do more good, and sort of lead with our daily activities and things like that. And I mean, one thing, you know, I mentioned that I'm lazy and, you know, often need things that are sort of easy, low barrier choices to make because I feel overstretched in my life in general. And so one easy thing to do is to patronize and support other people and other organizations that are doing the work of speaking for the planet, for non-human animals, for trees, for the rainforests, for the oceans, and, you know, doing that kind of preservation and advocacy. And so, you know, whether or not you feel that your everyday choices have enough impact, or whether you're willing or able to do things to sort of live out your values, one thing we can each do is find organizations that stick up for the planet and do that work for us, you know. And I still want to be a kayaktivist when I grow up and, like, you know, join Greenpeace in, like, swarming around oil wells and things like that, you know, in my little kayak and stuff like that. But right now I live far away from there, and I do not have the means and the body to do a thing like that. And so I make sure to make a contribution every month to Greenpeace. And, you know, you set that up in your, you know, one of the, there are pros and cons of everything, right? And there are terrible things about the bank that I use, like horrible, awful, terrible things. But I try to offset that with using the convenience and ease of use of my big monster bank to do some things easily, you know, more conveniently or whatever with my money and my finances. And that includes, it's just really easy to set up a monthly contribution to the World Wildlife Fund or the Sierra Club or Greenpeace or any organization. You know, I'm not going to tell you whom to support or patronize. You can do that work for yourself, and we each need to find those organizations that we want to pitch in with. But, you know, it, $15 a month, you know, maybe a lot or maybe a little in my own budget, or in your own budget, but it, you know, that along with all the rest of the people, can make a huge difference to one of those organizations. So that's a sort of easy, low threshold kind of thing that you can do to sort of put some resources back into those people and those groups and communities who are doing a better job of taking care of the environment. And then, you know, those organizations will clue you in on other kinds of efforts you can make. I mean, I think everybody knows that I think of myself as an activist, even though I'm often way too lazy to be as much of an activist about things as I, or, you know, too busy with other things. But, you know, there are things that you can do every day, things you can do once a week, once a month, however much time you have to invest, things that you can do to change the course of legislation, to advocate with or against organizations related to things that are going on in the environment. And, you know, so find somebody that you trust to help you figure out what those are. And when you do that, that makes it really easy. You know, if somebody that I admire and trust tells me, sign this petition, I don't have to do my own homework on that. I can be lazy and just click in the box and sign the petition, or, you know, fire up my resist bot on my phone, which, you know, literally with three clicks of my thumb, I can send a petition, I can send a letter, I can do a tweet, I can do all kinds of things that help advance various causes and efforts, and sort of put my voice in with those kinds of crowd efforts and things like that. So, you know, you don't necessarily have to pay attention. You know, it's great if you can pay attention to legislation and think about the impact that has on the environment, and think about, you know, the organizations that are lobbying to do damage to the environment and do things to sort of obstruct that, and to be a voice for goodness for the planet. But there are shortcuts for that, you know, is what I'm saying. And if you don't have time to really do a lot of thinking and work about that and, you know, to take leadership on it, then find somebody who does, and you can get on a good bandwagon, so to speak.
Of course. Yeah. You know, yeah. they are local, at least here in Chicago. This is a wonderful, beautiful, magnificent city. Not that I'm biased, but we are a part of the Great Lakes, right? And there are organizations that, you know, care for the Great Lakes, and they care for the fauna, the animals, mm-hmm. the water to be clean and all that. So depending on where you are locally, you know, if you don't want to get involved into like this huge, like Greenpeace or donate, or, you know, find something local. And everybody wants your money. And I'm going to say something, not being a cynic, but being very realistic. Not every activist is boots on the ground. Some of us activists are nobody able, and we are, yes, they call us keyboard activists. I'm proud of being one. And you can also donate very locally, you know, find something that even in your ward or your county, if there is some environmental, like cleaning the streets or stuff like that, everybody can use an extra dollar to buy resources, to buy materials, and we can get involved in that way if our pockets are lined up with an extra dollar a month or an extra 10, 15, like you say. It doesn't have to be gazillions of dollars, you know?
And even if you don't have money to spare, maybe you have time to spare. And there are lots of organizations really close by you, wherever you are, where people are doing something to manage land, to take care of the environment. And, you know, if I set aside a Saturday morning to go to the forest preserve near my house and help, I don't know, manage invasive species, or, you know, help with the prescribed burn, so that that ecosystem can be healthier, or just pick up trash, you know, with a group of people that's organized by that forest preserve, or even if I just take, you know, a extra plastic bag with me when I go for a walk in the woods and pick up the litter that I see along the way. Those are real life ways that I can, while I am out and enjoying nature, while I am, you know, enjoying the land that I live on and that is near me, I can also be a part of taking care of it. There's so many added benefits to that, because first of all, for me anyway, the more I learn about the trees around me, the more I see them every day. And I think about what they're giving to me in my life. I think about what they need from me to be able to flourish. And it's easier for me to take care of them when I know them by name, you know, and what I mean is, you know, everything from the Latin name of the tree to the you know, unspoken name I call that tree outside my window when I look at it 150 times a day to help me cope with whatever I'm also looking at on my computer screen or whatever. And so learning about the environment, sort of learning about the place around where you live, finding hands-on ways to contribute, can pay off in so many ways, not just to the environment, but also, you know, you get to know a group of people potentially near you who care about similar things. You make friends, you get busy, you have fresh air, you have exercise. It just pays off exponentially with dividends when, you know, whenever I manage to roll up my sleeves and actually get busy taking care of land. And one of the things that I love about Circle Sanctuary, for example, is that it is a landed organization, and that it is, you know, there are things that happen all over the world on behalf of Circle Sanctuary, but, you know, in many ways, the heart of Circle Sanctuary is the land where the sort of homestead of Circle Sanctuary is, and lots of people who live nearby are able to get there on the land and contribute tangibly to that particular piece of land, which I think is a really rich way to contribute to Circle, but also a great way to be with your friends from Circle and, you know, hang out and have fun doing something worthwhile. But you can find little networks of those people anywhere you are in the world. And, you know, you'll learn more about how to take care of the planet and you'll have fun doing it and you'll have company on that journey. So I think that's, you know, a thing that might seem hard at the outset, but ends up being easy in the long run to do if you can make a little time in your life to do that.
Absolutely. And I think it's, like you say, you know, it makes you be more aware of what's happening. And now that I see you, yes, I'm looking at Jake, but you cannot look at Jake, but I'm looking at Jake. I just saw you drinking out of your reusable water bottle. This is kind of the hill on which I will die. Of course, I don't drink a whole lot of water. You all know that's one of my problems. I'm doing better. But let's not buy plastic bottles of water, please, for the love of God. I saw somebody, I'm not bashing this person or anything, but it was cute that they posted, look, I'm recycling, and all you see on their recycle bin was bottles of water, and they were like those hard square plastic bottles, and I was like, oh my goodness. About a month ago, the news came out that for the first time, they really, really have found particles of plastic on human blood. If you cannot take any action, if you cannot listen to anything, if you don't want to do anything about listening to this show, do me a favor and just do this one thing and buy yourself a reusable bottle of water. And stop buying the little plastic disposable ones because they're just extremely harmful for everything. We could do a whole show just about that. The water bottle companies that they're stealing water from indigenous communities, the plastic production that is just polluting the whole planet, the violence that has been incited in these sites where the plastic bottled water are being filled, and then of course the incredible amount of pollution and now the plastic that is entering our bloodstream it feels overwhelming. So as overwhelming as it feels, buy yourself a reusable bottle of water and, you know, take it out of your mind, you know, just buy the reusable bottle of water. And if that is the least that you can do, but you can also sign petitions and do all that kind of noise like Jake was saying earlier. Save me from myself, Jake.
Well, I mean, you know, I think that's an interesting analogy that you just shared. I mean, we humans seem to think we can do whatever we want to the world. And as long as we don't sort of see it in big pictures, as long as it's removed from us, it doesn't impact us. But there's something really powerful about the idea that by polluting the earth with plastic, we're actually seeing that show up in our own bodies now. And, you know, that's some kind of comeuppance, right? Some, you know, kind of divine justice or whatever you want to call it. And if, you know, for no other reason than realizing that you were polluting your own body with toxins and, you know, fossil fuels, so to speak, or whatever, you know, that's a good reason to remember that plastic is poison for the world as well as for us. And, you know, there's all kinds of cute ways, like, you know, you can get water bottles and put stickers on them or draw on them or have one that is your favorite color or has, you know, an insignia of some organization that you appreciate. In fact, you can almost always get those kinds of things for free, you know, as a premium for donating to somebody or whatever. And, you know, be a part of the club of people who carry around their water bottles. So they're taking care of themselves and they're taking care of the world. you know, around them. And, you know, water is harm reduction for everything. And we haven't talked a lot about harm reduction, I guess, but I'm a big prophet of harm reduction. And drinking water is good for about everything there is that's wrong with the world. And that is not at all meant to shake my finger at Laura, because I remind myself every few days that I need to drink more water. And it seems like the simplest thing to do. It seems like the simplest thing to do. But I forget, you know, and I think most of us don't drink as much water as we should. And so you only stand to gain by having, my water bottle has these little lines on it that say, you know, by 9 a.m. you should have drank this much. By 11 a.m. you should have drank this much, so that I can make a goal about how much water I drink over the course of the day and sort of measure it, on my bottle or whatever. So, you know, there's all kinds of, you know, gimmicks you can use and things that you can use to encourage yourself to use a reusable water bottle. But also, you can get some really cute reusable utensils to carry with you that are light and durable. And, you know, so that you stop using plastic forks and spoons and straws and things like that. And, you know, after you sort of get in the habit of bringing it with you, then, you know, it starts to become a lot easier. Sometimes, you know, just starting out with a thing like that is the hardest for me. You know, and I have periods of time where I'm good at dragging that stuff around with me, and other periods where I forget to, and have to remind myself, you know, I've got a really cute little titanium fork that has little carabiner on it, so I can just clip it in my backpack or whatever and take it with me wherever I go. You know, or you can get those cute little bamboo sets that have a fork and a knife and a spoon and a chopsticks or whatever in them. Also, one thing that I've done in the last few years that I feel really good about is that have a runny nose constantly. And so I've started using a reusable handkerchief, and I have a bunch of those. So I've got always a couple of those in my pocket. I'm using it right now as we speak. And so I'm using way fewer napkins and tissues than I probably have used like 700 million tissues in my life, you know, and napkins and things like that. And so I finally figured out that it wasn't that hard to start carrying around a little hanky or whatever. And again, you can get ones that you like that reflect something about your personality or whatever, and, you know, just consume a little bit less of the kinds of things that make trees die.
Yeah. You know, I want to remember before we jump into the next topic, because you were talking about the bamboo fork and knife and all of that. When, because I know this because I used to work at a fast food restaurant, seems like a lifetime ago. And the thing is, when you get utensils at a restaurant, and if you're not going to use them and you try to give them back to the restaurant, they're going to throw them away. So if you order food, make sure you tell them you don't need utensils, you don't need napkins. And they won't put them on a carryout bag for you, because I have tried before, you know, to like give this fork back. I don't need it. And for sanitary reasons, they cannot use it back, and it ends up on the garbage anyway. So yeah. Let's try to remember when we order, let them know, like, I'm going to take it home, so I don't need utensils or stuff like that. And speaking of buying stuff, I know it's not affordable for everybody, but farmers market, the funniest thing is, like, I'm the tarot reader at the farmers market. I do so many farmers markets that is ridiculous, and I know the prices are not as affordable all the time. However, if you can, please buy local as much as you can do it. It helps sustain your local environment, and it helps sustain economically your local community. And obviously this circular economy that a lot of folks are trying to implement is what's more healthy for the planet.
Well, and I don't know about where you're at, but in Chicagoland, you can use your WIC or your EBT or food stamps at farmers markets, which is pretty cool. So check that out wherever you are. That might be a thing that you can do also, or there might be other kinds of offsets or incentives that people use at those farmers markets to help help you get good fresh veggies and fruits that might even be organic and are definitely local, you know, which has all kinds of benefits for you as well as for the environment. You know, if you can afford it or manage it, logistically getting, one of those sort of food co-op boxes, like once a week or whatever, is a great way to patronize and support local farmers or, you know, community farms and things like that. And I'll tell you what, I never learned as much about vegetables and cooking and vegetarianism as when I was getting boxes full of stuff that I have never seen before and didn't know how to cook or use, you know, and you learn how to use all of that chard and all of those, you know, all the rhubarb and all the stuff that comes in your box. You learn how to use it and you feel good about getting the very tastiest, healthiest stuff that you can possibly eat, and also being better for the world as you're consuming that. And you're part of something. You're part of something in your community and in your region. And, you know, part of building that kind of community connection, which is pretty cool also.
Speaking of community, I cannot not do it. I have to give a big shout out to Plant Chicago here in back of the yards in the south side of Chicago. They do an excellent job. They have the farmers market once a week, and they have those boxes that you were talking about, Jake. And they also have the EVT program, which I obviously forgot to talk about it. But yeah, they, and like Plant Chicago here on the south side of Chicago, I know there's some on the north, there's some on the west. There's nothing on the east because we have a lake on the east, but you know, they are all over Chicago, and I'm sure your local communities will have certain programs just like that, you know, like locally throughout the United States. What's next on your on our list? Be attuned. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. That was what I was going
to
say.
Yeah, be attuned to environmental choices made by companies you patronize. I rested my case earlier in the show when I say don't buy from the Golden Arches, but what else can you add? Jake, because I have nothing.
Well, again, I am not as up to snuff on this area as I wish I was. I, you know, occasionally will hear, you know, that this particular product that I buy, you know, is known to do terrible things to Palestinians, or, you know, is not sustainably grown or harvested, or, you know, has ingredients in it that are awful for the human body and for the planet and for all the animals that live around where it's grown or whatever it is. And so, you know, and like my bank, you know, pays for prisons of, you know, babies that have crossed the border, the southern border in this country, and just really horrible, abhorrent things like that. So, you know, as much as you're able, try to find out what you can about the sort of food chain or the economy chain behind the products that you consume, the companies that you give your money to. You know, you could definitely argue that there's no clean money and there's no clean business in the world. And I think that's a fair argument, right? Capitalism is wrong and evil in many regards. And anytime I give money to somebody for something, I'm participating in that, right? You know, and there are buy nothing networks And barter networks here and there that you might be able to participate in. It's pretty hard to live completely off of that grid. And I certainly am not anywhere close to being able to sort of make my own clothing or make all my own food or things like that. I'm like nowhere near, like I'm, you know, pretty convenience oriented when it comes to getting people to do stuff for me or make things for me that I need. But, you know, you might just sort of figure out on the sort of hierarchy of goods and evils, you know, what are you willing to put up with and what are you not willing to put up with? And usually there are more conscionable choices you can make. There are companies that you can invest in for your 401k. There are places you can buy your clothes or whatever else that are a little bit more ethical, a little bit more local, a little bit more run by people of color or women or queer people or indigenous people, or, you know, those, obviously those groups overlap. But, you know, you can make choices to be a part of an economy that's more ethical and less bad for some people and for the world or whatever. And, you know, I often think, well, you know, I've done so much harm with the money that I spend or the products that I patronize that, you know, it's impossible to avoid that. And so I'm just going to be lazy and buy what I want or whatever. But, you know, you writing a letter to that company saying, you know, I really like these pants that I bought from you, but then I learned that they're being made by people who are getting paid, you know, 3 cents for a whole day's work. And that's not okay with me. So I'm not going to be able to buy your pants anymore. And I hope you'll change. That can have a big impact on that company in the long run. Or just, you know, deciding not to buy those pants anymore or whatever. And, you know, maybe I can feel a little bit better about how I'm navigating the world in the meantime by, you know, being intentional with those choices.
You know, this conversation today has reminded me so much about an article that I wrote about a million years ago called Paganism, Cynicism, and Activism. And you just tapped into that. Like, we have been living in a day and age that all the information of the world is on our fingertips. And if people want to believe, like, I cannot do anything, I'm just going to turn around and buy whatever, that don't help. And believe me, like Jake just said, if you change one thing on how you live your life and make that one change of buying your fill the blank consciously, that makes a change. You know, I never realized that, you know, like you said earlier, what is out of sight, out of mind. And I was not aware of all the animal testing on beauty products. And since I decided to live a vegan lifestyle, I make sure I still buy from the big companies, but I make sure they have the little bunny that says cruelty free, you know, and I don't know how much or how little that will help, but at least I'm making the conscious effort. And yes, it might cost an extra dollar or two, but so does a cup of coffee, and we all get one of those once in a while. So, you know, making those tiny little sacrifices, they add up, you know. It's like saving, like the save a penny a day and whatever, you know. It's like that, you know, make a little change, and it will impact the planet.
Yeah.
All right. So the next one we have here, this is one of my favorite on the list. Walk or bicycle as often as possible. Opt for public trans instead of driving. So I don't drive. Yay. So one less car on the universe. Could it be problematic? Yes. Sometimes it is a little problematic. Of course, we have a car. My husband drives. But I try to walk as much as I possibly can. I don't bike because you don't want me on the wheels. Believe me, you don't. But walking is a beautiful thing. And then public transportation. I know a lot of people complain about public transportation here in the United States. Believe me, if you were coming from where I came from, your public transportation in the United States is number one in the planet. Please stop complaining. Use it, maintain it, keep it clean. If you drop a tissue, pick it up. Don't wait for the next person to pick it up and support the public trends. And then, like Jake said earlier, if you see something that you don't like, write to your government, write to your local authorities, let them know, like, hey, this route or this public transit, whatever, is not working. I'm amazed because I saw it here in my city. There was a bus route that was discontinued, and then people actually called for action, and now we have this bus route going around my neighborhood again because people need it and people use it. So for people who are body abled, if you can bike, by all means, grab your bike and do your thing.
Or skateboard or boogie board or whatever. Yeah. And that obviously, I mean, there, people complain about riding public transportation and having to sort of, sit next to random people and all that sort of stuff. But it's a great way to be in your environment, to be in your community, to be with diverse people and to remind yourself that you're not the only one on your way to work this morning and that your problems are not the only problems and what have you. Carpooling, and carpooling networks is another option. There's all kinds of options. And I think, I'm not really up on the actual figures of this, but I know that, during the pandemic, a lot of people have done a lot less driving, and I think that that's had some really good positive impact on the environment in a lot of ways. And there are a bunch of reasons for my having come to this decision I'm about to say, but my office is really far away from where I live, and I didn't want it to be that way. It's just how it worked out. And at the time that I accepted that job, I was not able to stick with my first choice of only working near where I live so that I don't have a long commute and don't spend a lot of time on the highway and pollute the world and burn fossil fuels and yada, yada, yada. But I've been working from home, which is an incredible privilege. And blessing. And I've decided that I'm not willing to commute anymore like I did before. And it's partly because of, there's a hundred reasons for that. But one of the reasons is, now that the world has learned to let people work remotely, there's no reason that the world should require us to all drive everywhere every day. And I have tools that I didn't have before. There were many things terrible about the pandemic, of course, and it had disproportionate impact on poor people and people of color and so on. People who are already vulnerable and disenfranchised from medical care and other kinds of resources. And I don't want to discount that at all. But for me, I've learned the kinds of skills and acquired the kinds of tools to do so many things in a more time economical and resource economical way. And I used to, as part of my job, travel for hours and hours every day and actually muster people, because I'm a trainer. People would travel to my trainings, and I'm not going to do that anymore. I definitely give up something by not meeting with people in person to do the trainings that I did, and there will be some times where I will have to go back to that in some ways at sometimes or whatever. But on the whole, I don't want to do that anymore to the planet and to people. And so I feel like I have a way to sort of move forward in that direction now that I didn't have before the pandemic, which hopefully we can all sort of leverage. There's a lot of murals in Rogers Park where I live, which I really enjoy. And one of them that I've seen recently talks about how, and I'm not going to remember the numbers for this, but how because of dramatically reduced shipping traffic, that the songs of whales and other cetaceans dramatically expanded or, you know, enriched. Really, while we were doing less traveling on the oceans in the last couple of years, you know, there are many parts of many parts of the oceans that have benefited a lot from that. And, you know, we can see that in measurable ways and stuff. And so, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, if anything good can come out of the pandemic, it's that we have learned a lot of ways to consume less and trespass less on our environment. And we've given the earth a little bit of breathing room and some other, you know, living beings a little bit of space that they didn't have before.
Yeah. Not back to normal, but new to better. That has been my crying chant since the pandemic. And speaking about learning how to respect other beings, learn to regard all living beings as your relatives and know your resources. I have a number because I have this app, right? That it's not an app. You can find it on online. The vegan calculator, and I just put it a month. So what is saved on a month of eating vegan? 33,000 gallons of water, 900 square foot of forest, square feet, square foot, whatever, 30 animal lives, 1,200 pounds of grain, and 600 pounds of CO2 on 1 month. Of being vegan. Since I became vegan, I promise I was not going to be that vegan that is telling everybody to become vegan, but this is my 5 minutes or 3 minutes, whatever. If you love the earth, if you love your dog, if you love your snake, if you love your cow, why would you eat it? That's just my question. For a person who has lived with arthritis for more than half of my life, I've never felt better since I stopped eating animal products. I sleep better. My mood is a lot better. And I'm just sharing with you what has changed for me. My digestive system is better than ever. Better than ever. That's all I'm saying. So I invite you all to think about other species, not as food, but as living entities. And if you can, Meatless Monday, if you can do Meatless Monday, just do it one day. And you'll find there's so many things now that they make that are healthy, that taste like meat and smell like meat and look like meat. And some people say, well, why you want it to look like meat? And well, because you cannot do, no pun intended, cold turkey. You know, you have to pace yourself if you want to make this change. And I promise you, you will feel better. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's easier than ever to be vegetarian or vegan now because you can get stuff at almost every restaurant that is an acceptable meal. You know, not that long ago, you would get a crappy salad, you know, as your choice for vegetarians. And it just isn't that way most places. And, you know, you can decide that you do or you don't want meat substitutes or fake meats or whatever. But, you know, you don't really lose much by not eating meat because there are so many options now. I mean, you don't lose flavor or texture or anything like that is what I'm saying. And so it's just so much easier. I love my Happy Cow app on my phone that helps me find vegetarian friendly restaurants everywhere I go, literally in the world. Not that I go around the world a lot, but you know, anywhere I have been, I've used that Happy Cow app, and it doesn't just make cows happy, it makes me happy. And, you know, I'm able to patronize these restaurants and these places that I would never be able to find, know how, you know, to navigate to find a vegetarian friendly restaurant, because, you know, before there was the internet and so on. So it is so much easier. And, you know, like Laura says, if you're not willing to go completely vegan, then become vegetarian. If you're not willing to become vegetarian, then be meat free one day a week or one day a month to start it out, you know, or just for the period of, you know, Lent or Ramadan or, you know, some period in your own for Earth Day, you know, go vegetarian on Earth Day. You've got it's coming in a few days. You got some time to plan. You know, you definitely are not going to. My mother always lectures me about how, you know, how do I make sure I'm getting enough protein? And, you know, it's basically a lie made by factory farming that humans need as much protein as we think we do, and that humans need to drink milk, like dairy milk and things like that. It's a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah.
The strongest, fastest animals in the world are vegetarian or vegan, and plenty of athletes and artists who are humans are vegetarian or vegan as well.
Yep.
And you know, it's easier and tastier than ever before. So you don't even literally don't have to feel like you're giving anything up, because there's so many great and yummy options available. Yep. So give it a try for yourself, for the rest of the people on the planet, for the rest of non-human animals on the planet, and for the planet itself. As you know, a really good step for sure.
And look, we're not sponsored by this documentary, because we're not sponsored by, I mean, Jake is sponsored by Jake and Laura is sponsored by Laura. That's what it is. But if you have the time and if you're curious, watch this documentary called The Game Changers. Just give me that gift and watch that documentary. And they give you numbers and facts and all kinds of good stuff. And even though we're not sponsored by anybody, we are on the space that is given to us by Circle Sanctuary. And Circle Sanctuary has amazing resources for you to keep your education on conservation of the earth. And I invite you all to sign up to Circle Sanctuary Green Faith Circle. This is a group on Facebook, Circle Sanctuary Green Faith Circle. And Reverend Charbert and Andrew and a whole bunch of other members of Circle Sanctuary, including obviously Reverend Selena Fox, are part of the Green Faith Circle. They meet once a month. And Reverend Charbert also has the Blue Marble podcast that airs every third Friday here on CSMP, the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast. So of course you can continue the conversation with them, not only on Earth Day, but every day, because they meet once a month, they come up with plans, they have activities, they have things to sign, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you can check it out. And I cannot believe an hour has gone by, Jake, like this. So why don't I leave you the microphones so you can say goodnight to your audience tonight?
Well, thanks, Laura, for this platform, for all the work that you do to advance this podcast, and for being willing to partner with me on it. It's so much fun. It's always easy to talk for an hour about anything with you. And I hope people have found some ways to find celebrating or honoring Earth and celebrating Earth Day just a little less challenging or scary or overwhelming than you might have thought before. Hopefully everybody's found at least one thing that you can do to honor and love the earth and to take care of it. And I'm excited to also support the Green Faith Circle as a regular way that you can talk with people about how to carry on your best intentions about taking care of the earth as well. And I hope you have a happy Earth Day, and that the Earth has a happy Earth Day.
Yep.
Thanks for being a part of this with us today.
And of course, credit where it's due, the brain and the hard work to put this show together comes from Jake Bradley. So thank you, Jake, for doing this with me. And I'm just a sounding board, or I try to be, because most of the time I don't know what I'm saying. But anyway, thank you, everybody, for being here on Lunatic Mondays. And just to remind you, of course, to listen to Blue Marble, to listen to Selena Fox on Nature Mystic and Nature Spirituality, to listen to Paganos del Mundo, if you speak Spanish or Portuguese, to listen to Deborah Rose 2 Tuesdays a month with Circle Talk, and to David and Janet Ewan 2 Thursdays a month with Moon Magic, and to continue supporting Lunatic Mondays, the other weeks of the month when it's not social justice, but obviously to invite you to come back next month to another social justice series. My name is Laura Gonzalez, and I thank you all for your support. And I like to say, until we see you again, never forget that you are loved. Bye-bye.
And thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.